Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Dorsey.
I'm Jay Gragnani.
And I'm Tommy Doyle.
I got my two wingmen here. It is June 4th, 2018.
It is.
Time is flying by. It's now June. Cool outside.
It is.
And here we are in Times Square, and I'm walking with Tommy outside, and he says, you know, this doesn't impress me.
Throwing me under the bus
right off the bat. No, well, I said, you got to be here at night. If you want to really get impressed with Times Square at night, it's where the lights are flashing. Everybody's moving about now.
Yeah.
Here people are going to work and coming to lunch. And come back at night.
We'll do.
All right, I'll bring you back.
Yeah, it's an impressive place. I don't care.
Because back in the day, when I became a stockbroker with Merrill Lynch back in 1974, 75, this was the place to be. I mean, we were really cool. We were stockbrokers. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, and Smith back then. We knew absolutely nothing, but we thought we were cool. You know, so you're going to be all right.
Yeah, I'll be all right. And thanks to you guys. As long as I keep you guys around.
No, this is good. I mean, we're right in the heart of Times Square, in the heart of New York, and new facilities. This is not the green screen behind us. You might notice a little bit difference in the clothing, but this is great to have the opportunity here to be at Market Site. Lots of renovations that have happened here, and so beautiful facilities that we're having. So, with all that,
I threw him under the bus right off the bat.
That's what happens. That's what happens.
Lord.
But with all that said, you know, we're sitting on, you know, lots of exciting stuff happening in the market. We've talked over the past couple of months of a lot of the things and the trends and stuff emerging that we've been really seeing in the market. You know, and one of the things as we're turning the calendar over to June that comes to mind, I think, is we've made it through the first month of what is historically the seasonally weak period of the market. The sell in May and go away adage, those conversations that is done, the market made it through the month of May relatively unscathed. As a matter of fact, was actually slightly up. But underneath the surface, there was a lot of stuff going on that we wanted to talk to today.
Yeah, that's underneath the surface, because you say we came through the first month and a fraction unscathed. What about the next 2 months?
Yeah,
right.
What's going to happen then?
Yeah.
But under the surface, that's where you really want to see.
Yeah.
So what's going on? What's doing well?
Small caps are doing well, especially under the surface, now getting a little bit more prevalent. We've been talking about those three size and style boxes doing well in terms of performance. We've recently seen small cap growth move to the number one size and style box in Dolly. We've also seen all small cap growth go to its highest average score that we've ever recorded on the asset class group score system, above a 5. And the bullish percent even for small cap, for BPSML, returned to a buy signal, gave a triple top break with last week's action. So we're seeing a lot of that stuff still hold true. We've seen some sector rotation stuff happen in the market here recently. So there's luckily a lot going on, but a lot of the major themes are still intact. We haven't necessarily seen a sign of weakness or low vol stuff outperforming the momentum. The momentum is still kind of carrying us strong so far throughout the year.
Yeah, and I think that trend that you're alluding to, the trend in growth stuff in general just continues to be strong, continues to perform. You still see technology within Dolly still ranked number one there. Financials are still the number two ranked area. The one new trend really that we've seen over the past couple of months that we've discussed on these videos and reports and the likes is the energy sector. And energy at large, we've been seeing move into a number of our different sector rotation models that we have on our site. And today, as we're filming this, is a change in one of the models that I know many of you follow, which is our Power 4 model, which looks at 9 broad sectors and owns 4 of the PowerShares DWA ETFs underneath the surface, which actually, as I mentioned that, are all completely now rebranded to Invesco. So if you're noticing those changes on the website, the Invesco brand is taking over for those PowerShares ETFs. Nonetheless, the bigger trend that's going on there is energy is actually moving into that model. PXI is the ETF that's moving into that Power 4 model. And PEZ, the discretionary ETF, is rotating out of there. And so, you know, we're continuing to see these signs and evidence of energy at large continuing to move up the surface and continue to perform well.
I want to follow up with what Tommy was saying on the small cap. And you need to know this. You know, you have customers that are coming in and saying, I want to index.
Right.
I want to do an index. Why? Because you read articles everywhere that 92% of active managers underperform the index. Well, the only index they talk about is the Standard & Poor's 500 cap weight. Well, indexing can take on a whole different meaning. When we talk about small caps, you're saying small caps just scored the highest they've ever scored on our work. But if you go back to the year 2000, and you look at 2000 all the way, the last 18 years, if you look at the SML, which is the Standard & Poor's, now, and I'm just indexing here. These are just indexes. I'm not selecting a sector. I'm not selecting a stock. The SML is up 419% during this period. Mm. The Standard & Poor's, that's all you ever hear on TV, Standard & Poor's cap weight is up 86%. The Standard & Poor's equal weight, same 500 stocks.
Yep.
One I would look at cap weight is like Congress. Equal weight is like the Senate. Everyone has two senators. Equal weight is up 264% to current day. Mm. If I looked at the mid-cap is up 342. So with the SML, small cap up 419, that's the last 18 years. What's been your best play? What index would you prefer to own?
Small caps.
Small caps. But and that's back, if you go back to our reports of October of 2000, you'll see where we ferreted this out and we did go along that. But my point being is, when you think about indexing and whatnot, people just think about the S&P 500 cap weight, when there's a lot more to indexing than that. One of the questions at MarketWatch.com had an article, it's called, Can the S&P 500 Beat the S&P 500? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which
yes.
one do you want, the right. equal weight or the cap weight? You know, so small caps for 18 years have been the best place to be, and it still is now, and the Russell 2000, which is smaller cap than the SML, is making new highs.
Yeah.
So it's still small cap.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plain and simple.
Small cap is the play. And even when you look at Dolly, you know, small cap and very particular small cap growth has been up at the top of the Dolly size and style ranks for a while now. And I say at the top, towards the top three. Over the course of the past month, we saw small cap growth actually move up to that number one spot as small caps have performed very well, as you alluded to, but just continue to see improvements from a relative strength perspective and continue to see small cap growth as a style box give relative strength buy signals against some of the other areas out there.
Yeah, some of the other areas that aren't doing so well are the value. So we're seeing large cap value be at the very bottom along with mid cap value and small cap value. And then that kind of alludes into the sector drippings as well. We're seeing the same kind of themes there. We've seen real estate. We've seen utilities. We've seen consumer staples. A lot of those interest rate sensitive or the value or the slower moving defensive style sectors underperform, where we've seen the risk on more aggressive style sectors outperform. And we've seen that happen in our rotation from relative strength with the power four change. And we've been able to see that in size and style boxes as well.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about some of the weakness that has happened, there's been, if you look through a lot of individual charts and look at some individual stocks, there's a lot of large cap value or value, you know, even some mid and small cap value type of names that are down double digits this year and have really, the market at large, if you look at, you know, defining the market as the S&P 500 is up, call it 2% over the first 5 months of the year. Some areas, technology is up double digits. Some stocks, though, are down double digits. And you look at things like, you know, Kraft Heinz is one name that comes to mind, is in a negative trend, has been in a negative trend. Campbell Soup, I mean, these consumer staples, you know, dividend-paying, traditional value stocks have certainly come under pressure, and it hasn't seemed to stop. And, you know, one name that popped up here recently, too, is Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson, a very, very big name, just violated its trend line for the first time in about 3 years, moving into a negative trend, and is a zero on its technical attribute reading. It pays a good dividend, but certainly one to take a look at if it's a stock that you're owning, that trend has turned negative, and it certainly warrants some defensive action within the portfolio today.
Yeah, it looks similar to a name like Philip Morris. Those things are PM. That one's down about 26% along with Kraft Heinz. 0 for 5, violated trend back in February. So if you have exposure to these types of names in the portfolio, we encourage you to take advantage of the alert system on the portfolio and on the platform so you can be notified of when these major market events happen so you can stay prepared.
Yeah.
Take action. Be tactical.
Well, and that's what, you know, that's what it's all about today is paying attention. You know, if you're paying attention to what's going on underneath the surface, and I think that's important, you alluded to earlier, is there's a lot of stuff going on underneath the surface, and today it's about paying attention to the things that are working and moving up the ranks, paying attention to the things that are breaking down, and not hoping that a strong market is going to bail you out of weak positions. So be sure to pay attention.
See, you younger guys have to pay attention. You know, I mean, you're a millennial.
Yeah.
You're not far from it, right?
Yeah, it depends on what you look
at.
Yeah.
X generation. Right. Yeah. When you lived it on Wall Street for 44 years, you don't have to pay attention. It hits you between the eyes. And what hit me between the eyes? We were just interviewed by a young man, and it reminds me of 1975 when I first came into this business. I mean, oil stocks were the play, plain and simple. You went through an oil embargo. Oil stocks were going through the roof. By 1978, it was gold, it was silver, it was those types of things. So you look at it and say, inflation, oh, inflation is here. What do we do now? Oh, my Lord. Interest rate sensitive stocks are going down. Real estate is going down. Real estate investment trust going down. There's plenty to do. Mm-hmm. If you look at the IAU, that's the gold ETF. iShares gold ETF, just now breaking out.
Yeah.
After a long-term downtrend. You look at oil stocks. Reminds me of 1975. There's always something to do. It's not that interest rates are rising. Oh, my Lord, what are we going to do now? Don't worry about it.
Right.
You'll eventually be buying your dad an 18% treasury bill like I did back in 1978.
It's hard to fathom these days.
And I bought customers 13% CDs, 4-year CDs back then. But you know what? Nobody cared about interest rates being high like that. What they trade? They traded gold. Mm. They traded silver. Anything, they traded commodities. These were the things that were going up. So there always was a place to go as long as your customers are willing to buy stock.
Right.
How many of your customers out there willing to buy stock today? Have you got them all in tune to modern portfolio theory? That's free at Charles Schwab.
Mm. Right. Yeah, what's interesting on that chart of gold, GC/the continuous chart, is it's hit resistance between 1360 and 1370 a handful of times since it ultimately topped out if we go back to the summer of 16. So it's been about 2 years, and it's tested that level 4 or 5 times now before recently just coming off. So that would be an important level from a technical perspective. If we see it break above that, call it to 1380 or thereabouts, that would be a big base breakout, arguably we could call it, and a nice resistance level that would be taken out.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, crude oil, I think we kind of talked around it a little bit. Crude oil, overall trend there remains positive. Crude oil CL/ moved into a positive trend back in July of last year. So for almost a year now, it's been in a positive trend. Recently hit 72 and has backed right off and has pulled back basically right to the middle of the trading band. And the previous level of support was the previous breakout level. You know, one of the exercises I think that's useful today is, you know, cover up the name. Yeah. Cover up the name on the top of the chart and ask yourself, is this something that looks like demand is in control or supply? You cover up the name on the top of crude oil. Clearly, demand remains in control of crude today.
And it's pulled right back to the middle of the bell curve, which is exactly where you want to buy it. So I'd be a buyer all day.
Yeah.
You know, the one strategy that's made a tremendous amount of sense, if you go to it's on my dashboard.
Implied
momentum. It's the normal distribution bell curve of the S&P 500. If you look at that, very normal condition we have now, mm-hmm. that says, you know what the strategy is now and has been now for the longest time? Covered writing.
Yeah.
How many of you out there do covered writing? How many of your customers understand what covered writing is? That's in a market where 68% of the time, it's going to be the right strategy. How many of you do it?
Probably not enough.
Good question.
Not many.
Good question.
Not many. But it's there. And option volume is reaching record levels. How many of you are participating in this? Think about that.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, before we wrap up.
Oh, yeah.
Next week.
Yes, 12th.
Next week, June 12th.
Tuesday.
Is a webinar that Tommy is holding and will be an in-depth educational event about point and figure methodology.
Yeah, I gave this webinar to Ralph Acampora has a group in Minnesota, a technical analysis mm-hmm, group, mm-hmm. and I gave it to them one evening. They really enjoyed it, and these are a technical analysis group. It's simple, straightforward. If you don't understand the basics of point and figure charting, this is where you want to come. You're going to learn something about the charts, how they work, relative strength, And after 1 hour, you're going to be able to implement this in your customers' accounts. This is what's going to make you different. And when it comes time for the customer to start buying stocks, you want this to be part of your portfolio. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a link in the Daily Equity Report for June 1st in there, and there'll also be a link we're adding out to the login screen as well. So be sure not to miss that webinar next Tuesday, June 12th.
I want to see you.
We'll see you there.
Sounds good.
All right. Catch you next week.